to what can I do?
Well, this morning it is good to be back up here with you again, preparing to serve you in this way as your pastor. And I've had several weeks to work on this sermon in the series that we've been working on as I've been away recovering from surgery. So we have a three-week gap until Lent begins. So what I am doing today is I'm starting a series, three-week series, that's going to focus on discipleship. Right? When we say discipleship, what we mean is the ways in which we follow Jesus, the ways in which we have been called as God's people through his Holy Spirit in our hearts to follow him and what that looks like. What that looks like in our lives to be followers of Jesus, disciples of his. So we're going to have 3 weeks to look at that, of what that means for us to be disciples of his. And often I think in the world in which we live, especially if you've been a part of a church or a Christian for a long, long time, that becomes something that over time begins to seem rather complicated, perhaps even overwhelming. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Well, it means I've got to do all these things and follow all these rules, and I've got to go to church and be a part of a church, and I've got to do devotions and be a part of a Bible study, and all of these things that I'm supposed to do, all of these activities or actions that are a part of religious activity that are a part of being a disciple of Jesus. And sometimes in that, over time, we get a little bit lost. So if I were to ask the question here today, ask the question in this place, what does it mean to be a disciple? How do we do that here together? Right? How are we people here in this church who follow God? What does that look like for us? I might get as many different answers back as there are people sitting here, because we all have some different kinds of ideas going on. So, here's what I want to do. In the next 3 weeks, I want to make this clear, simple. It's the title of this series. That being a follower, a disciple of God, ought to be simple. Now, by simple, I don't necessarily mean easy, because no one ever said that following God would be easy. That's not what I mean by simple, but what I mean by simple is clear, that we all get it, that we know what it means, that we understand it. And then hopefully, here's my hope then, that after 3 weeks, that when somebody asks, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus here in this place, in this community, that we would all have the same answer for that, that we're all doing the same things together as a community of faith, as part of what it means for us to follow God as his disciples. Simple. All right? So you have in your order of worship, there's an outline there that we're going to follow. And I've given you sort of a picture on there, a triangle, for these three things, three directions, three actions that we're going to follow. The first one that we're going to take today follows an upward action, what it means to be an upward disciple, loving God. The scripture that we're going to look at for that comes from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, where the psalmist writes this. This is a psalm of David. King David wrote this. He writes this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The Lord, the decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 19, then, a psalm that gives us a picture of what it means for us to have upward discipleship, loving God, focusing on God. So I have in your outline there a picture that it's just a simple triangle. But I want to lay this out because as we're talking about in the next 3 weeks, a shape of discipleship, what discipleship means in a way that we do that here together as a community. Maybe some of us are visual learners and a picture here would help. So today we're talking about that upward motion, right? What it means for us to look up and see God reaching down to us, revealing his love for us in a way that allows us to respond in love for him. That we say as disciples of Jesus, one of the core and at the heart of the gospel is a love for God, a love from God, a love that God has revealed to us and that we respond to him in love. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to fill that out with these other directions then too, that we'll talk about what it means to be inward disciples and also to be outward disciples. And all of these things then connect to some words that maybe some of you see familiar because they are part of our mission statement. Our mission statement that we have as a church, loving, growing, and serving, that we love God, we grow in relationships, and we serve our local community. But today I want to spend the time that we have here just looking at that very first piece, what it means for us to love God as disciples who look upward to God. How do we do that? How are we people who love God? What does that look like? How does that take shape? What does that mean for us as people who follow him and are disciples of God, that we are people who love God? How are we even capable of doing that? Let's bring it back to where that all begins, to where it starts, to the question of how it is I can love God. Because I cannot love God if there are some things that I don't know. I cannot love God if I do not know God. That it begins there. That it begins with somehow being able to know who God is in order to love him. And that love for God and that knowledge of God comes to us in ways that in which he reveals himself to us. That translates into a love that we have for God. The Apostle John talked about it this way. The Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And in that, John sees a vision of Jesus where Jesus has a message for the church. Seven of the churches. So as Jesus brings that message to the church, this is what Jesus says to the church. This is from Revelation chapter 2, where Jesus says this as his message to the church in Ephesus. He says, "I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first." You see, here's a picture of a church of people who had been doing all of the right things. Right? Nothing in that list is anything that's bad or wrong. And Jesus commends them for that. You know, you're living out your faith in ways where you have all of this activity, all of this religious activity, and it's not bad stuff, but you lost something along the way. Somewhere in all these things that you do as a Christian, somewhere along the way, you lost this first love for God. You know, for those of you who've maybe been a Christian a long time, if you think back to that moment when you've made that decision where, yes, this faith is going to be mine and I own it, and I'm making a commitment to God through that, a love for God, where you're drawn into that, Do you remember that time? Sometimes after the years, we sort of wander away from that. At least that was the case in this church in Ephesus where Jesus writes these words in Revelation. To bring them back again, to remind them once again how critical it is, how central it is that in our mission that God has given us to be his disciples, that loving God is at the heart of that. That we trace it back there. That's where we begin in our walk with God. And somehow, as we continue through the years of discipleship, we find ourselves in places where maybe once again, we have to find our way back to that again and remember what it means for us to do that. You know, I remember in the years before I was married, back when I was still dating Laura and getting to know her, that it began as a friendship. And as a friendship, you begin to learn things about one another. So I would learn things about who Laura was and the things that she liked and didn't like, the things that she was good at and the things she struggled with, the things that would make her happy and rejoice and the things that would frustrate her. You learn something about that person. I got to know her. And in getting to know her, the relationship develops and becomes one of love and affection. And even yet today, after all these years of marriage, it is still that knowing one another that allows us to love one another. It's true of our relationships. And it's not just marriage that works that way. Close friendships are like that too. If you think of the good friends that you have and those close friendships that we have, it's the time that we take to get to know those people and know who they are and know something about them that allows us to have that relationship connection and to love them that way. Same thing is true with God, that it takes time. Learning to know God takes time. Takes time in that relationship to get to know who God is and how God has revealed himself. Takes time to do that. You know, it's been a year since I've moved here and started working here at this church and pastoring here, and it takes time. It takes time to get to know all of the people here and all of these new relationships, 100 or more new relationships all starting. That doesn't just happen overnight. But it takes time, week after week, month after month, and here going on a year and more then, to get to know people, get to know your lives, get to know what makes you who you are, the hopes and dreams that you have, the disappointments and fears along the way. We all carry those things, and as we learn those things about one another, as we get to know one another in that way, then a friendship forms, a relationship where love is at the foundation of that. It takes time to do that. And it's an ongoing process, isn't it? It's something that continually happens. It's something that you never say, all right, I've got it all figured out now. I know everything that there is to know about someone else, some other person. But you're always discovering new things along the way. And it's ongoing that way. So that's why we say that as a part of our mission as a church is to love God. It's because we know that it's something that we continually go back to again and again and again. It's part of what drives us as people who follow God. It's part of our lives of discipleship together to pursue that relationship of love with God because we know it is ongoing that way, that it's a process. But here's how that works out for us, because it's not something that is a mystery. Rather, it's something that God has revealed, that he has made known to us, that he wants us to know him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to be in relationship with him. And he brings that to us in that way, that in a way that we can be his followers, that we can follow him like that. The same thing is not true of other religions around the world. Not true in that way. In fact, at the time when David wrote this psalm, Psalm 19, there were other pagan religions around in the area, other false gods and idols that people would follow. And in those other religions, right, the pagan religions of the world around at that time, they followed false gods that could not be known. They couldn't know anything about who those gods were. They made up mythologies about these other idols and gods, but they didn't really know them because these gods couldn't really be revealed. And so they didn't know, do their gods love them or not love them? They don't know because these gods were not revealed. Could they really have a relationship with a god like that? They could not because these are gods that were not known. But our God, the true God, the triune God of the Bible, is a God who reveals himself. He makes himself known to us so that we can respond in love to him. He reveals his love for us so that we may be people who love him. Our God is a God who makes himself known, who reveals himself to us in that way. We talk about that in a couple of ways. And the psalm that we read today is a good example of that, of Psalm 19. If you saw that when it went by on the screen, maybe you caught that. But maybe you can see that more clearly if you see the whole psalm laid out. So if you have that open in front of you, that helps. And it is there in your order of worship, Psalm 19. You can find that in your Bibles that are in front of you. It's on page 858. But you see how this psalm is laid out. It's laid out in a way that, first of all, when that psalm begins, that David, who writes the psalm, talks about how God is revealed in the universe around us, right? That there's evidence of God. And we call that, in our theology, we call that general revelation, that God has revealed himself in ways that is evident to everyone. Anyone can see that. That when he writes in that psalm, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. That we see it in the creation around us. We see it in nature as it is before us. That there is evidence of God that comes before us in the universe, in the created universe that he's made. That all you have to do is look out at the world around us and see the intricate detail in everything that God has made, and you know then that there is a creator behind it. It's there for all to see in that way. The psalm declares that in Psalm 19, but we also say something about that in our theology, in our doctrines. So this comes from the Belgic Confession, article number 2. The Belgic Confession, which writes this about the ways in which we know God and the way in which we know God through creation, through what he has made. It says this: we know God by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, since that universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book, with all creatures, great and small, are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God, God's eternal power and divinity. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, verse 20, all these things are enough to convict humans and leave them without excuse. That God reveals himself through the creation. I like how the Belgic Confession puts that in rather poetic language, that the creation itself is as though it were a book, and everything written upon it shows evidence of God, that we all may see him in that way. But that only brings us so far. When we see the world around us and see the beauty of creation, we know that God is there and that he exists. We see that confirmation day after day. But that only brings us so far in knowing who God is. And so we also say that there is a different kind of revelation that we call in our theology special revelation, a revelation from God which brings us beyond just knowing that he is there and that he exists, but knowing something about him. David in Psalm 19 writes about this as being the law of God. So if you look at Psalm 19 that we read this morning, the first 7 verses are about the creation. Right? Verses 1 through 7 are about how God has made the world and the world speaks of. Then from verse 7 and following, he talks about the law of God, that we also know about God and about who he is by what he has revealed to us in what we have as scripture. the Bible. That God has made himself known to us through his word. And the scripture is what reveals God to us. So as we look at that, as we look at scripture, we see the way that God has made himself known. Our theology talks about this as well. I read the first part of Belgic Confession, Article 2, but the second part of that article says this: second, God makes himself known to us more clearly by his holy and divine word, as much as we need in this life for God's glory and for our salvation. God wants us to know him. He has revealed himself to us. He has revealed his love to us so that we may be people who in turn respond in love to him. That we are people, disciples of God, who follow him in love. And in all the ways we do that, right? In all those things that we think of as our religious activity, in all those ways that we follow God and show and express our love to God, it somewhere all has to come back to. At some point, it all needs to return to his revealed word to us. That we cannot love God. We cannot be disciples of God. We cannot follow God in love unless we have time in his word, in his revealed word to us. It is through the Bible, it is through scripture that we know God the best. And so it is through scripture and through time in the Bible that we learn to love God the best and follow him in that way. Think of someone that I knew back in the church that I served in Denver, older gentleman who's passed away now, Dwayne Shardema. As I got to know Dwayne, when I first moved there, he was already in his 80s then, and he served on council. And I thought to myself, here's this guy, you know what, you've done your time. I know you've done this already, but he continues to serve and do that. And as I got to know Dwayne throughout the years there, one of the things that impressed me most about Dwayne was the way that he loved Scripture, that he loved the Bible. The Word of God was so entrenched in him. So whenever we would be together as elders and have a time of prayer or anything like that, or whenever I would hear him pray in any other setting, a group that we were with, every single time Dwayne would, in his prayers together out loud, he would quote scripture. He would always pray things like, Lord, you have told us in your word, and quote some piece of scripture. Lord, you have reminded us in your word, and he would quote a piece of scripture. Over and over again, he would pray the scriptures, that this was a guiding thing for him in his life, that he was someone who knew God and loved God because he spent time in the word of God. And so when he talked about God and when he talked about God in his life and what it meant, it was never some kind of an imaginary opinion, which it is for so many other people, right? God is maybe what I want God to be. I imagine God to be maybe something more like a Santa Claus who just gives good presents to everyone. Or God is maybe something that is not quite true or accurate, but for someone like Dwayne, who I knew back then, he knew who God truly was because every time that he spoke of God, he would speak scripture, where God reveals himself for who he truly is. That if we want to love God, we need to know God. And if we want to know God, we need to be in scripture, to be in the word of God. I've had to rediscover this in some ways. In fact, rather recently here where I've had surgery and I've had 4 weeks off and 4 weeks of resting and recuperating was a time where I had some forced time away to rest and spend significant time during my days in the Word of God. Not necessarily reading it for work or preparation or doing a study or preparing lessons, but just reading it for the sake of reading Scripture, of knowing God and loving God through that. But that's unique. You know, it's not every time where you get a four-week break where you are forced to sit aside and not do anything else. So you've got the time on your hands and the availability there. That's not real life for most of us. Real life means that we're busy people. And day after day, we go on living in the routines that we have. And so, if we are going to be people who follow God and are disciples of God and want to love God and want to know God and spend time in Scripture to do that, it means we are people who need to make an intentional habit out of that, right? We are people who need to make a decision to say, I am going to spend time in the Word of God, because it is only by spending time in His Word that I can know Him. And there, by spending time knowing Him in the Word, I can love Him. I need to make that choice to develop that habit, to do that in the way that God has given this gift of revelation to us through His Word. So what does that look like? How do we do that? Where do we get back to that? Maybe that looks a little different for each one of us, depending on who you are and where you are in your walk with God, or where you are in your season of life. Whether you're someone who's been a Christian a long time and you've read the Bible for many years, but maybe it's become something that's a little bit monotonous and now you need something maybe new or different in that routine. Whether you're someone who's a little bit newer to the faith and you're just learning about these things for the first time, and maybe you look at a Bible and you say, this book seems so confusing, I don't even know where to begin. Whether you're a student who's just learning about so many other things in school and God and the Bible is a part of that, where do you begin with that? Whether you're someone who maybe needs to return to that after being away for a long time and say, you know what, there was a time in my life where I was in the Word a lot, but maybe that's fallen to the side. No matter who you are this morning and where you're at with that, we need a place to get back to, right? Somewhere to bring that back and start again in knowing God through His Word so that we can love God as His followers. So I'm going to recommend something as a place to start, right? I'm going to give us a step one in that process. If you need a place to go to begin this again, this is my recommendation, Psalm 119, that this would be step one for us. If you know your Bible at all, maybe you're familiar with Psalm 119 because it's very long, right? It's one of the longest psalms that's in there. But here's how I'm going to recommend that for us as a place to go. If you were to look at Psalm 119, and our English Bibles have that, so it's the NIV versions that we have here would display that for you, that Psalm 119 is a poem that is an acrostic poem. What I mean by that is several of the Psalms follow this pattern in some way, that it uses the Hebrew alphabet as a way to organize that, because this was written to a culture in which they didn't all have copies of a Bible and they couldn't all read. They had to somehow memorize this. So they would throw in these pieces in their scripture that would make it easier to memorize. So this is a psalm that is using the Hebrew alphabet as a way to organize it so people could remember it. It's a poem that way. And if you were to look that up and look at it in a Bible now, you would see that there, because it's in our English Bibles, that when you look at Psalm 119, verse 1, the very first thing that you see in front of that, it kind of looks like a letter X, but it's in the Hebrew alphabet. It's the letter Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the Hebrew alphabet goes on from there, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, letters that are not familiar to us, but they're there in your English Bibles. You can see them there. And the way Psalm 119 is organized is that it goes in 8 verse chunks. So every letter of the Hebrew alphabet has 8 verses that follow that. It breaks into 22 sections that way, because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. 22 sections, each section 8 verses long. And here's the thing. Here's why I say Psalm 119 is a place to go back to begin this. Because the theme of Psalm 119 is a love for Scripture. The psalmist all through Psalm 119 talks again and again and again. Stanza after stanza is about a love for God's word, that I love the law of God. I take delight in his precepts, all the different poetic language that's there that's used to describe the way in which God reveals his word to us. And the psalmist declares over and over again his love and his dedication to the word of God that guides his life, that gives him joy, that guides his steps, that is a lamp to his feet. All of those things that are poetically laid out there, in which the psalmist declares again and again, Lord, your word for us is the way in which I know you and love you. A prayer, 8 verses at a time, verse after verse, stanza after stanza, a psalm that declares, God, your word is the way in which I know you and love you. If you need a step one today, a place to go back and start this again, that's where we go. Psalm 119. A psalm in which you can break that apart into pieces. Pray that as a prayer, that I would love God's word and love him through the way he reveals himself to me, through those words, through that prayer, through that psalm, as a habit to begin. Now, how will we do that together? So here's how I'm putting this together. We've got 3 weeks here that we're working on to build this series of discipleship. And then the season of Lent begins. Lent, which brings us up to Easter. So, you can take a look at that over the week coming or the next week and see, yep, Psalm 119, there's how it's broken down. Yep, there are eight verses in all those chunks and 22 sections of that. But beginning in Lent, so when we begin the season of Lent, we're going to provide here at this church a daily reading for that. That if you want to be someone who gets back into the Word and develops that is a habit that I have as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, is to be in the Word of God. And I'm going to develop that habit again of being in the Word of God so that I can know Him and love Him by using these words of Psalm 119, a psalm that is about knowing and loving God through His Word. We're going to provide that beginning with the season of Lent, which is coming in 3 weeks. I'm not giving that to you yet today because it's part of a bigger package, right? The next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about those other two directions of discipleship, what it means for us to be people who are inward disciples and outward disciples, as well as what we've talked about today, upward disciples. So we're going to package that together. Hang on to that for a few weeks. But coming in a few weeks when we start the season of Lent, if you need a place to go, a place to begin, Psalm 119 is what we will do here together as a daily reading of Scripture, time that lets us spend that time with God to know Him so that we can love Him. That daily reminder of God's love for us, that by knowing Him, we can love Him better. To know God by the way in which he has revealed his faithful and eternal love to each one of us. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you that you reveal yourself in your word to be someone who loves us deeply. God, forgive us for the times when we've tried to seek you out in other ways and maybe imagined you to be things that you are not, or followed our own desires and have ignored the ways in which you've truly revealed yourself to be to us. Lord, we're sorry for the ways when we've turned away and gotten so lost in all the complexities of religion that we've forgotten how to love you the way that you have revealed your love to us. And so, Lord, we pray today, we pray that we would once again rediscover the beauty of your word for our lives, and that by knowing you through your revealed word, that we would there again love you in the ways that you have revealed your love to us. We thank you so much for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.